Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, next to the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion at the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 27, 2013, or it's Chisley 24, 2017. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go, Dear Yahshua. It may not be on the mountain's height, or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Yahshua will have need of me. But if a still small voice he called to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Yom, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Yahshua, for mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what you want me to be. Or perhaps today there are loving words which Yahshua will have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wonder whom I should see. O Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, the dark and the rugged way, my voice shall echo the mercy sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Yah, for a mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lowly place, in earth's harvest fields so wide, but I may labor to life's short day, for Yahshua the crucified. So trust in my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with the heart and say, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Yah, for a mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what you want me to be. The Man on the White Horse by the Benjamin Roden. We've done this before, but we're going to do it again. We have a good reason to do it again. They shall be one in mine hand, joining the two sticks. Ezekiel 37:19, Zechariah 9:13, and Revelation 6:2. Let's go read those three scriptures before we start reading the tract. Ezekiel 37, we're going to read 16, 17, and 19. It says, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I'll make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh Elohim. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, forever. For my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Okay, we're going to go now to Zechariah 9:13. It says, When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy son, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. Let's go now to Revelation 6:2. It says that, And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The man on the white horse by the bend road, and joining the two sticks, and they shall be one in mine hand. Okay, we're going to put the two great kingdoms of Israel back together for the first time since they were subjugated after the Solomon's death. Okay, the ten tribes represent the ten northern kingdom of Israel. The two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, represent the south or the southern kingdom. For the two kingdoms have been separated for about 2,700 to 2,600 years. Okay, we're going to start with a gem thought. This tract was published by Ben Roden in 1965. Keep in mind, though, if Ben Roden got off on a little early time set for that branch, he launched it around 1960. Time for it to launch was by Brother Johnson in 1970, and the third feeding pasture. Ben Roden tried to launch the branch in the second feeding pasture, Carmel. That won't work. Didn't work. And so now Ben Roden tried to join the two sticks, the two houses of Israel together in the tenth hour, parabolic hour. They're designated by prophecy to be joined together in the twelfth parabolic hour, and that's the hour we're in now. That's the commission of Antipical David, to join these two sticks together, because the prophecy says that Antipical David is the one that actually does this. So let's read the gem thought for the joining the two sticks to the two houses of Israel together. It says, For the disciples of Yahshua were looking for the immediate coming of the kingdom of his glory. But in the giving them of this prayer, Yahshua taught that the kingdom was not then to be established, but they were to pray for his coming as an event in the future. But this petition was also an assurance unto them, while they were not to behold the coming of the kingdom in their day. For the fact that Yahshua bade them to pray for it is with the evidence that the Yahweh's own time, it will surely come. Alright, the aim now is, our study is found in Ezekiel 37:15-28, and it includes supporting scriptural text and statements from other inspired writers. For the purpose of this study is for the disclosing unto the view of the Elohim's true Israel and his Lord Christ Church, combined with the fulfillment of his promise unto Abraham, for the giving of his seed of the land of the Palestine in the last days, in the 12th prophetic hour that we're in now. So read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. For the destruction of the Gog and blessings unto Israel, for the Elohim is to use the nation of the Gog as an example of his wrath of the destruction, for the heathen nations who are not converted, and his protecting care for his people Israel. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Ezekiel 38:16-17. After many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years, that thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of the Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Ezekiel 38:8. Israel's land like Eden, and they shall say, this land that was desolate, to become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahweh, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Ezekiel 36:35-37. For the prophet Jeremiah says, in the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. That's in Jeremiah 23:20. For the Isaiah says it is in the last days. Isaiah 2:2-4. And Micah says the same. Micah 4:1-8. So it says, telling of this event, Ellen G. White explains it by the Moses experience. Moses saw the chosen people established in the land of Canaan, each of the tribes in its own possession. And now a panoramic view of the land of the promise was presented unto him. Every part of the country was spread out before him, not faint and uncertain in the dim distance, but standing out clear, distinct, and beautiful to this his divided vision. In this scene, it was presented, not as it then appeared, but as it would become, with the Elohim's blessing upon it, in the possession of the Israel. He seemed to be looking upon a second Eden. Now that's in Patriarchs and Prophets 4:72 by Ellen G. White. This gives us an insight into why Moses wasn't allowed to go into the land of Israel. because he anticipated that land to be the fulfillment of the restoring of the Garden of Eden that back then. He already knew it wasn't to be, and that he would be greatly disappointed after he had had spent 80 years in the process of delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt into the Promised Land, and then to be disappointed after he got into the Promised Land. Yahweh couldn't allow that because he knew the children of Israel were not going to stay long in that land, even though it was a Promised Land. So Yahweh took Moses to heaven and bypassed that land and showed him what the land would be like here in the latter days, here in the 12th parabolic hour. Let us continue on now. Israel's land like Eden. I'm taking this from The Man on the White Horse by Ben Roden. It says, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahweh, build the ruined places and planted that was desolate. I, the Yahweh, have spoken, and I will do it. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Ezekiel 36:35-37. Now, folks, how many times have we read this? And we don't actually believe that Yahweh has come down and that he personally had hands on building Israel back up again. All the dwelling places. We always think about, well, no, he has his people to do that. It's just, he is the power behind it. No. I want to read you something here in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, it says. And if it were not so, I would have told you so, he said. I'm going to turn to it and read it exactly the way it reads. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. If you believe in my Father, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All right, now. The key words are in my Father's house. Now, it says that in the prophecy of Isaiah 2, in the last days, that the mountain of the house of Yahweh is going to be established in the top of the mountain. And it says in verse 2, Isaiah 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahweh's house, okay, the mountain of the Yahweh's house, which is Mount Zion, that's the mountain of the Yahweh's house, that's the kingly palace ground there in Jerusalem, where David erected the temple in the time. And so now it says, in my Father's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and above exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and unto the house of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem. Okay. So now here Yahweh and his son is back here. And his son left this earth after his resurrection 2,000 years ago. He went back to his Father in heaven. And became coronated as king upon the throne of David in his Father's house in heaven. Okay. Now, Yahshua and his father, they return back to earth in the last days, and they bring the father's house with them. Okay. It's that same father's house that the son went to when he went to see his father in heaven. So he comes back and he brings it back. Well, this is what Ben Roden is talking about in his tract when he says that he's going to build this land of Israel back up again. He's going to build the houses. This is Yahshua and his father coming back, and they build these houses. But Yahshua says, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, you can't go with me and help me do it. I'll go do it myself. And then I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, when he comes again, he's going to bring these houses. In the Revelation 21, we have another description given by John the Revelator, starting with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now this is what John saw take place in the 12th hour, the hour that we're in right now. He was showing those things that's going to take place after. Okay, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he has sat upon the throne, said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Okay, here it is. John the Revelator saw him coming down here in the 12th hour that we're in right now. And they bring the holy city, and they come, and his son comes with him in his traveling throne, and they bring the Garden of Eden right back down here to this earth. They sit up right there in the Holy Land, because it says so in Zechariah 14. It says, And verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. See, Mount of Olives is a mount right there before Jerusalem. On the east is right there, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Okay. So now, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, where the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yeah, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Yahweh, Yahshua, my Savior, shall come and all the saints with thee. So now here's Yahshua. He come and he get all the saints, starting with 144,000, gathers them here in the wilderness of the people in the Western Hemisphere in the United States, more preferably in Texas, land of Goshen. And he purges out the rebels there. He calls them to pass under the rod, under the authority of Yahweh's government, pass under the rod, into the bond of covenant. Okay. Then he takes them to that valley of the mountains, where the holy city has come down, and sit right down in that valley with all the houses and land. So, if he brings paradise back to this earth, the Garden of Eden back, and he plants it right where it originally was in the beginning, then he brings all those houses and land. He brings it all. It's a small planet. Okay. Now, He says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known unto thee, Yahweh, and not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem. These are the plan of salvation going out. So it looks like the holy city is going to come down. And then, still, there's going to be a work to do for salvation for mankind. No wonder the whole world is looking on. They say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the house of Yahweh, and he'll teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Well, where was the law going forth from before? It was going forth from Babylon, from Washington, D.C. The New World Order was put in operation. But now, the New World Order of Heaven has come down and has circumvented the New World Order of this beast. And now the people are going to say, huh, let's go up there and receive the law. It's going forth from Mount Zion. Okay. Satan sets up his government to this beast. He's got it going right now. He's going to command everybody to bow down and worship that image. Gonna come and get the law from him, okay? Which would be the law of Obama right now. But he's going to come and change all that. All right, let's get back to reading our tract, "Man on a White Horse" by the Ben Roden. Okay, we're on page 2 of our tract. It says, "And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities have become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahweh, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock." Ezekiel 36:35-37. "For the prophet Jeremiah says, in the latter days you shall consider it perfectly." Jeremiah 23:20. Isaiah says, it is in the last days. Isaiah 2:2-4. And Micah says the same. Micah 4:1-8. All right, we might just turn to Micah 4:1-8, and we might read that. It says, "And in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh," the mountain of the house of Yahweh is the house of David, incidentally, "shall be established in the top of the mountains, all the churches of Israel, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow under it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh and unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Yahweh of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Yahweh our Elohim forever and ever. In that day, saith the Yahweh, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Yahweh shall reign over them in the Mount Zion from henceforth even forever." And this is actually Yahshua, the Son, is going to reign over them in the Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. "And thou, O tower of the flock," and this is the house of David, "the stronghold of the daughter of Zion." Okay, this is the Fort David, Camp David. "Under thee shall it come, even the first dominion, for the kingdom shall come unto the daughter of Jerusalem." The daughter of Jerusalem is the house of David. Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in the travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. You could very well say, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O house of the David, in the 12th parabolic hour. Be in labor to bring this forth. Be every moment of the day, waking moment of the day, putting forth these timely messages that will bring forth this here child. O daughter of Zion, said, be in pain and labor to bring this here child forth. O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city. Okay. You got to go forth out of the city of Jerusalem, and thou shalt dwell in the field. You got to go out, you got to get out of the city. You got to go out there and get in that field where the people are. And thou shalt go even unto Babylon, there shalt thou be delivered. There the Yeshua shall redeem thee from the land of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. Okay. Now many nations right now are surrounding Israel. And what is the number one thing they contend with there in the city of Jerusalem? Is that Temple Mount. They've taken charge of it, those half-brothers to Isaac, those uncircumcised Ishmaelites, those Palestinians, those Arabs. Now, keep in mind, I'm not talking about the Christian Arabs, those that have aligned themselves with the house of Israel, because they are a remnant of them, and they have always done that. They are good people. I'm talking about those terrorists, self-appointed terrorists, Zionists, Palestinians, that wanted to just take over the city of Jerusalem just so they can destroy the whole thing off the face of the earth. It says in verse 12 of Micah 4, but they know not the thoughts of the Yahweh, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Harvest time. They got to come through a harvest. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. So it's telling the house of David, arise and thresh. For I will make thine a horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. So the house of David is going forth and beating pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Yahweh, and their substance unto the Yahweh of the whole earth. Okay. So now it says in Micah 5, it says, a deliverer from Bethlehem is promised. Okay. So this is Bethlehem. And did you know that David was born in Bethlehem? Now think about this. David was the one that Yahweh raised up to deliver Israel the very first time that Israel had to be delivered out of the hand of the Philistines, the Palestinians, in the tent. David was the man that was anointed and already been prepared to do this. He was the deliverer. David is the deliverer again in the Antitype. I don't care how you measure it. Yes, Yahshua is the power behind it, but let me tell you, this visible King David is the one that delivers. And remember when King Saul asked him who he was? He said, I am the son of Jesse of Bethlehem. From Bethlehem. So now it says in Micah 5, it says a deliverer from Bethlehem is promised. Well, we know also that Yahshua was born in Bethlehem. We know that. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. This is Micah 5. We're going to start with verse 1. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Now, isn't this amazing? David was born in Bethlehem, and he was the first one to be the deliverer of Israel. And Israel has already been established as a set up with the king, King Saul, the people's choice. And David had to go and circumvent a disaster and save Israel and deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And let me tell you another little secret. He had to deliver Israel out of the hands of King Saul, the king of Israel. Because King Saul had betrayed his trust, Yahweh had to withdraw his spirit from him, and because of that, King Saul was not able then to deliver Israel out of the hands of the enemy. David had to go and deliver Israel out of the hands of King Saul, and at the same time deliver Israel from being taken over by the enemy in their own land. Same thing today. Israel is in their own land. They have a King Saul that is running that place over there. And his name is Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. And he is not able to deliver Israel out of the hands of the antitypical Philistines, Obama and company. That's the President of the United States. Obama is an antitypical Muslim, black Muslim. He is identified as a half-brother to Isaac. He is the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, and need I say more? He represents the antitypical Philistine army that has already invaded the land of Israel. They're already right there in the holy city, trying to choke the life out of the holy city and choke the life of the whole land of Israel. And now we have a deliverer come again. And he's going to show up in the form of a man. And he's going to have the biblical name David. And he's going to deliver first Israel out of the hands of Netanyahu and all those Zionist rulers over there that's ruling over Jerusalem, trying to border that land away to the enemy, what little bit is left of it. David's going to have to come in there in Zechariah 14. It says in Zechariah 14:14, and Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem, meaning the house of David, with David leading the way. Okay. So it says there in Micah 5, verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee it shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Now what does it say? It's going to come forth unto me. Okay, here's Yahshua coming down to earth. He's right there. He's going to call this David once again out of Bethlehem. And he's going to come forth unto me. Who is this me? Yahshua said he's going to come forth unto me. That is to be a ruler in Israel. Okay, so now he's going to be the ruler in Israel. Now this one that is talking where it says he's going to bring him forth unto me, this is Yahshua. Now we know that Yahshua is come to rule and take his place upon the throne of David and to reign forever and to put all enemies under his footstool and to rule over them. Yes, this is. He's the King of Kings and the Sovereign of Sovereigns that's come to and to take and restore this earth and destroy his enemies. Genesis 49:10. For the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Shiloh is Yahshua. The scepter is the house of David. Shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver. Okay, so from between his feet. His feet is Yahshua, but his feet is the lawgiver. That's executing the law, which is antitypical David. Shiloh is Yahshua. And then it says there in Isaiah 9:6-7, we're going to turn to it, read it right quick. It says that unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. See, this is David's kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahshua of hosts will perform this. So how does he order it and how does he establish it? With his visible earthly king sitting upon it. People are not going to accept Yahshua coming in the person again and just out of nowhere, coming out of nowhere, or coming out of the midair and coming and sitting upon the throne of David and start executing judgment and justice. People are just not going to, they didn't do it in the time. Okay. So it's going to be done again with a visible leader introducing Yahshua. And when Yahshua does appear in the person, the people then will be well familiarized, and they will be then prepared to accept this Yahshua when he does appear, because they have accepted his earthly servant, Antipical David, first. Okay? Just like Yahshua said, when he came to the earth and finally appeared, he came to represent his Father. He said, now, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, I'm the Father of one. Now, I don't have to go and have the Father to come and to show himself in the person. You've already seen him in the form of his Son. You know exactly what he looks like and everything. Now, it says back here, that in the track of Man on the White Horse by Ben Roden, as we continue to read, it says, telling of this event, Ellen G. White explained it by the Moses experience. Moses saw the chosen people established in the land of Canaan. Okay, each of the tribes in its own possession. And now a panoramic view of the land of the promise is presented unto him. Under Moses, see, every part of the country was spread out before him, not faint and uncertain in the dim distance, but standing out clear, distinct, and beautiful to his delighted vision. In this scene, it was presented not as it then appeared, but as it would become, with Elohim's blessing upon it and the possession of the Israel. He seemed to be looking upon a second Eden. Okay. Now, you see, it said right here that Yahweh is going to bring this back, this Garden of Eden back. Going to sit up there and get it all prepared. But it says it's going to be, the children of Israel are going to be in possession of it. Okay. He seemed to be looking upon a second Eden. So Moses, when he was getting that vision just before he died and was taken to heaven and not being allowed to enter into the promised land, after he'd looked forward to it for 80 years, but he was satisfied. After he saw the vision, that he would inherit that beautiful, beautiful Garden of Eden, paradise, that he would be in it. And sure enough, he died. Yahweh took him and put him to sleep out on that mountain, resurrected him in 3 days and took him to heaven, took him to paradise. So that's where Moses has been. He's been in this paradise, the one that he saw in vision. He saw it, paradise established right there in the land of Israel, here upon this earth in the last days. And that's the one that Moses went right straight to heaven and he entered into, that very paradise that he saw in vision. Yeah. Well, this statement by the Ellen G. White is in the perfect agreement with the Ezekiel 36:35, which shows the land of Palestine has become like the Eden before probation closes for the world. Okay. You will please note that Ezekiel says that Yahweh will build up the ruined places. Okay. Verse 16, one stick. The prophecy of verse 15 to 28 is undated, but it was probably given shortly after the vision of verses 1 to 14. For the two are closely related. For the divided nations of Israel were to be reunited and placed under the beneficent rule of the antitypical David. Okay, this is the one that's talking to you right now. Antitypical David. So folks, it's now. Verse 21. We'll gather them. For the restoration of Israel from the captivity among the heathen was the first step in the fulfillment of the divine promises. For this remnant was to be consistent of those who had profited from the discipline of the exile and had become spiritually pure. Since the prerequisite revival was never attained, either before or after the return, with the Zerubbabel, for the fulfillment of these promises was prevented. For the Elohim did for the Israel all that their obdurate disobedience would allow him to do. Verily they remain rebellious, therefore eventually he had to reject them utterly. For the unfolding of the divine promise here and in the following verses applies to the picture as it would have been if the Elohim's purposes had been carried out. Okay, for the glorious destiny that might have blessed Yahrushalayim had she accepted her Redeemer rose before the son of Elohim, for he saw that she might through him have been healed of her grievous malady, liberated from the bondage, and established as the mighty metropolis of the earth. From her walls the dove of the peace would have gone forth unto all nations. She would have been the world's diadem of the glory. That which Elohim purposed to do for the world through the Israel, the chosen nation, he will finally accomplish through his congregation on the earth today. For the Yahshua is coming for the establishing of his kingdom on the earth. For they gather themselves together, they come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, for the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Isaiah 60, verse 4 and 5. Now I want to back up and read to you what I read to you just a little earlier and make a comment on it. That which Elohim purposed to do for the world through Israel, the chosen nation, he will finally accomplish through his congregation on the earth today. Notice he uses a front. He used a congregation of living people and leaders. For it says, Yahshua is coming to establish his kingdom on the earth. Well, let's look at the type. Yahshua came in the type, and he established his kingdom on the earth. Well, that's the same kingdom that we're talking about now. He's already established it. And how did he establish it? With living people. And then when he went back to heaven, he left it in charge of living people. Well, he's coming back, and he's already come back in the last days to reestablish his kingdom. Just to reestablish it. Because it had fallen down. Had been trampled underfoot and fallen down. He's got to come in and restore it and reestablish it. He does this with real people. Yahshua only spent 33 and a half years on this earth in the first time in the type. And he was in charge of sitting up and establishing the kingdom of heaven. Once he got that established, he went back to heaven and left it in charge with the charge of his servants. Well, when he comes back in, he does the same thing again. He sits it up again with his servants, starting with Elijah David and his visible servant. And then he goes back to heaven, like he did in the time. He goes back to heaven to receive this kingdom then. Get coronated to receive this kingdom. and the end attack. Comes and establishes it. That's what he did at the top. He came and established it the first time, went back to heaven after his resurrection, and got coronated to receive this kingdom with heaven's blessings and the Father's coronation on it. Okay. So it says, they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The force of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Isaiah 60, verse 4 and 5. Thy watchers shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:8. Ezekiel 37, verses 22. One king shall be king. Verse 24. He is described as being David, my servant. Okay, now we're going to read Ezekiel 37, verse 26. Multiply them. This would have resulted from the natural increase of the population and from the influx owing to the diligent missionary activity. Let us remember that David of the old reigned around 1000 B.C. For this prophecy by Ezekiel was given about 575 B.C., which is over 400 years after David's time, and yet Ezekiel declares David is to reign sometime in the future from the Judah's captivity in Babylon. Since David had been in the grave for many years, Ezekiel must have been speaking of the antitypical David, who is to be the king of the Israel, when the Gentiles are to see her righteousness and glory in the last days, when the last shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, in the time of the loud cry, Micah 4:3, of the desolate land of the Palestine, which will become like Eden, while the heathen nations are still left round about. Elohim does this in order to teach the world of his ability to save and to bless his holy flock. And they shall know that I am the Yahshua, Ezekiel 36:38, unto his people who have not known about this promise of the Yahshua to do it for them in this life. But Yahshua said, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Ezekiel 36:37. For the word of Yahshua came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel his companion. Then take another stick, and write upon it for Joseph the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companion. Ezekiel 37:15-16. Anciently, the Yahshua commanded Moses to write the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel on a rod, stick, and lay them up before the Yahshua in the tabernacle of the witness, number 17:7. Here the Yahshua commands Ezekiel to write on one stick for Judah, the two tribes, our southern kingdom, and another stick for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes, and join them one unto another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Ezekiel 37:17. For the Bible students are familiar with how shortly after the death of Solomon, the 12 tribes of Israel were divided, making two kingdoms. For the sticks representing these two nations were to be joined, making one stick in Ezekiel's hand. Consequently, since the sticks were not joined in the hand of Ezekiel of old, in the captivity in the ancient Babylon, it must be the antitypical Ezekiel is to accomplish the task in our day. Therefore, let us consider what the Bible has to say about the way the literal sticks are joined, which is a figure of the joining of the two kingdoms of the Israel. Hence, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Yahweh their Elohim, and will hear them, Zechariah 10:6. Here is Elohim's promise for the strengthening of Judah and for the saving of Joseph, placing them in their own land, never again to be cast them off. For the Yahshua also shall save the tents of Judah first, Zechariah 12:7. For the tents are the common people, for the spirit of the prophecy declares, when this gospel, teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, shall be presented in its fullness unto the Jews, many will accept Yahshua as the Messiah. For in the closing proclamation of the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, when the special work is to be done for the classes of the people hitherto neglected, Elohim expects his messengers to take particular interest in the Jewish people, whom they find in all parts of the earth, as the Old Testament scriptures are blended with the New and an explanation of the Yahweh's eternal purpose. For this will be unto many of the Jews as the dawn of a new creation for the resurrection of the soul, as they see the Yeshua of the gospel dispensation portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament scriptures, and perceive how clearly the New Testament explains the Old. For their slumbering faculties will then be aroused, and they will recognize Yahshua as the Savior of the world, for the many will by the faith receive Yahshua as their Redeemer. Among the Jews are some who, like the Saul of the Tarsus, are mighty in the scriptures, and these will proclaim with the wonderful power of the immutability of the law of the Elohim. For the Elohim of Israel will bring this to pass in our day, for his arm is not shortened that it cannot save. That's taken from Acts the Apostles, page 380 and 381 by the Ellen G. White. This brings us close to our studies. You can contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archives. We're going to now close this service with a song. Mansion over the hilltop. I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city, for the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in the bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we won't never more wander, but walk the street where peace goes. So often tempted, tormented, untested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, no, he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor, or deserted or lonely. I'm not deserving, I'm heaven bound. I I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion of hope and her crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, and that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will nevermore wander both those streams.